Hi everyone, I'm Mark Esper. Welcome to No Spoiler Reviews, the podcast for movie reviews with the surprises left in. If you ever felt like you've already seen the film by just reading a review or had the story spoiled by its trailers, then this is the podcast for you. In this episode, you'll find all the latest movie news and No Spoiler Reviews, including Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall in Coming to America, Jason Clarke in Silk Road, Matthew McConaughey in White Boy Rick, and Sam Neill in the charming comedy Rams. In addition to all of this, we'll be giving you a brief taste of next fortnight's interview with Swiss writer-director Florian Froschmeyer about the attractions of working in television over cinema and much, much more. Yes, in response to many requests for more interviews, we're going to be changing the show's structure a bit. So from now on, there'll be one movie review podcast a month, and then a dedicated movie interview podcast released 2 weeks later. So if that's your kind of thing and you don't like knowing the ending before you start, then let's get started with Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall in director Craig Brewer's 30-year-old follow-up to Coming to America, the cheekily retitled Coming to America, with a number 2 sat in the middle of its name. 30 years after the events of John Landis's Coming to America, Eddie Murphy returns as Prince Akeem Joffa. Everything is peaceful and light, except for Akeem's father, who is dying, and there is no male heir for the kingdom. Since none of his overqualified daughters can be allowed to ascend the throne, Akeem must face his dying father, a grumpy James Earl Jones, all alone. However, it turns out that unbeknownst to Akeem, he did unknowingly sire an heir whilst in America, and he must now return to the USA to retrieve the boy. With Zamunda's militaristic neighbor Nextoria threatening to invade, it's imperative that Akeem succeeds. But will he? Well, in Coming to America's fondly over-the-top sequel, that part really isn't in much doubt. You see, clearly knowing its now 40 to 50-year-old audience, Dolomite Is My Name director Craig Brewer has found a subtle touch between revision and reverie for Coming to America. Whilst avoiding the baton-passing antics of director Tim Story's woeful Shaft reboot, Brewer and Murphy have managed to find a lot of scope for new material whilst affectionately mining the past at the same time. Sexism and the patriarchy find themselves squarely in the crosshairs, and yet it's never knowingly done or ever made to feel laboured. Gleefully relishing his announcement to Jermaine Fowler's Lavelle Johnson that he is a potential bastard son to a lavish empire, the offence and compliment travel hand in hand, and as such the jokes are well meant and pointed throughout. With a simplistic plot that intentionally runs on rails, the real gift of Coming to America is that it affords its cast the ability to overact knowingly. Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall get to jump into their fat suits, SNL's Leslie Jones is a tramp with far more amp than this fuse board was ever meant to handle, and John Amos is again thumbing through the McDonald's employee manual. However, the real coup de grace is Wesley Snipes as General Izzy, the warlike leader of Nextoria. Part P. Diddy Armin and part mad strutting cockerel, he devours every treasure that the script lays before him with a maniacal wink. So with a script that even allows space for Eddie Murphy's trademark deadpan glance to camera, you'll see there's still plenty of new and old for you to enjoy. By its end, Coming to America is thankfully never that sequel that nobody asked for. By avoiding the trap of over-expectation to a fondly remembered classic, this is clearly not intended to be a return to form for Murphy, nor spawn a dozen sequels off the back of its presumed success. Instead, it's clear that the filmmakers knew what they had in their hands right from the off, and wisely chose not to crush this rose before scattering it ahead of their cast. Decked out with a lavish eye for costume and scenery, Coming to America is the right kind of fan service, and one that doesn't lack for either budget or aesthetic nourishment. So, dial in the pizza, plump up the couch, and set your attention to vibrate, because the gentle weekend kickoff movie you've been waiting for is now available on Amazon. As a side note, the blooper reel in the credits is worth hanging around for. However, the real treat is John Legend's final send-off at the piano. Prepare to be amazed, even after you've been entertained. See it now on Amazon as part of their Prime subscription plan. Moving on from the verdant and hilarious palms of Zamunda, let's now check out what's happening to the movie business in our latest What the Genre feature, which asks, what is a movie really worth these days? When was the last time you watched a movie online which you felt was really special? You see, as the pandemic has moved the movie business into being a mainly online concern, I'm beginning to wonder how special new movie releases are these days. Now that going to movies is no longer a ceremonial act where you'd leave your home, go to the cinema, buy popcorn, and do all of this before enjoying the latest flick, have movies now become another disposable medium? True, for many, being able to stream movie after movie whilst adhering to lockdown, streaming has been a saviour to lots of people, but are the real casualties now becoming the movies themselves? Ask yourself this question. If a movie isn't really working for you after 10 minutes, will you now persist, or will you stop and start surfing around for something else. You see, I'd warrant that if you were sat in a cinema seat, the chances are that with your popcorn and Coke in hand, you'd probably tough it out. And the dire movie in front of you might even go on to surprise you by coming to life in its later acts. After all, you've paid for your ticket and you can't change your mind with the swipe of your finger or the click of the remote. And I think now the studios know this, and it's changing the way that movies are made and also the way that they're marketed. For example, check out online trailers at the moment, all of which start with a 3-second distillation of the trailer before it's even started. Or maybe you've noticed the absences of slow character introductions at the beginnings of movies. And all of this is because the fight for your attention has got desperate. So even though Apple, Amazon, and Netflix in particular have got high concept movies coming out nearly every week, the impression is that you have more choice. But how different are the movies actually from one another? I mean, how many lone wolf revenge movies have you seen come out over the last few months? How many unsolved serial crime killer cases can you handle before even those titles start getting away from you? You see, with cinema having been seen as a traditional bastion for self-enclosed single narratives, what is the real difference between a feature film and a rash of 90-minute episodes promoted as sequels? As such, I think there's a real danger to the kind of stories that studios will now sign off on, given the limited access we have and the competition for our attention. So please write in with your thoughts, because I'd love to know your thoughts on this. So now, with that talk of supply and demand now out of the way, let's check out director Tilla Russell's cyber thriller Silk Road with Jason Clarke and Nick Robinson, which is now out on Amazon, Vudu, and iTunes as a premium VOD. Fresh out of a psychiatric ward, narcotics cop Rick Bowden, as played by Jason Clarke, is out of excuses. Either with his family or his boss, there's clearly little trust left to call upon as he's busted down to a desk job in cybercrime. Similarly, 20-something Ross Ulbricht, as played by Nick Robinson, has also exhausted the patience of his parents. Forever chasing the big idea that will somehow change the world, Ross finally thinks he has it, an anonymous online superstore for selling illegal drugs. However, as his website, named The Silk Road, takes off, it also attracts Rick's interest, who really hasn't got much left to lose. So based on real events and dramatized where necessary, director Tilla Russell's reworking of Ross Ulbricht's story and the story of the Silk Road website is an above-average cyber thriller. Navigating a world where he's clearly out of his depth, Jason Clarke's Rick astutely rationalizes that whilst everyone else is chasing IP addresses, he's much more interested in whose fingers are actually touching the keyboard. So while Silk Road's script does a decent enough job of showing you how the goods are bought with an untraceable currency, aka Bitcoin, it really only cashes in its dramatic chips halfway through once we leave cyberspace. Whereas David Fincher's The Social Network wisely focused on the personality of the players and their need for greed, in particular, Nick Robinson's Ross Ulbricht feels somewhat underwritten in this regard. For whilst he brings a solid urgency to Ross, an adolescent who is forever ashamed of being labeled a starter and never a finisher, it's really Jason Clarke's Rick Bowden who drives the main story. Way out of his depth and subordinate to a juvenile boss, it's his growling narcotics cop that's the real volcano that's waiting to explode. As a result, he gets most of the camera's attention, and I can say that Jason Clarke's performance certainly warrants it. However, in a dramatized tale where two immovable forces are clearly destined to meet, albeit one with a badge and one with a computer, the best thing that Silk Road has going for it is its acting. Don't get me wrong, in trying to visualize the story of the Silk Road website, writer-director Tilla Russell has spun a solid enough yarn about the dark web. But it's nothing so arresting that you could hang a 5-star review off. For that, you would need an Aaron Sorkin script, and he's already conquered cyberspace on screen for David Fincher. So, now let's move on to a new feature where we do super quick reviews of other movies that are currently available on the moment in our Flyby Reviews. First up is Fatale, an erotically charged femme fatale thriller, hence the name presumably, where psychologically damaged cop Hilary Swank torments naughty boy Michael Ealy for cheating on his wife with her. Expect lots of Fatal Attraction-like setups, and Swank demolishing the script scenery with one Machiavellian maneuver after another, in what pretty much amounts to an inventive, albeit one-sided show for Swank's acting abilities. With a historical drama 6 minutes to midnight, Eddie Izzard is a hastily installed replacement teacher at an all-girls school where all the kids hail from the Nazi high command. In a drama where nothing is what it seems, Judi Dench wants to give her girls the benefit of the doubt. However, with war looming, Izzard is asked to do more for his country than just teach Latin. Earnest and Well Meant, 6 minutes to Midnight, sadly lacks any real apt pupil-like tension, but Eddie Izzard and Judi Dench are still eminently watchable nonetheless. What is a real delight, though, is director Clark Duke's Arkansas, where Liam Hemsworth and the aforementioned Duke are low-rent smugglers, Kyle and Swin, working for a mysterious kingpin called the Frog. Black humor by the bucket load is never really far away. Toss in Vince Vaughn and a deliciously sly John Malkovich as a cop-cum-nursemaid, and you have yourself a ripe royal backstagging companion piece for Logan Lucky. So, there you are. Three reviews, all short and sweet. Okay, so now it's time to check out one of your requested movies in our much-subscribed Request Stop feature. Now, if you're a first-time listener to the show, let me explain what this is. A Request Stop is where you, the listener, can write in to us here at No Spoiler Reviews and ask us to do an in-depth, no-spoiler review on a film that you'd like to see, or maybe one where you'd like to just hear our take on it. For this episode, we're going to be looking at the real-life crime drama White Boy Rick with Matthew McConaughey, Richie Merritt, and Jennifer Jason Leigh. Thanks to Connor Bryan from Detroit for this request. So, let's get into it now and see if White Boy Rick has got all the minerals. When we are introduced to Richie Merritt's Ricky, he's a kid buying guns at an arms fair in 1980s Detroit. With the city on the skids after the car factories have all closed down, both he and his father, Rick, an excellent Matthew McConaughey, must make ends meet by manufacturing illegal gun parts. Yet eager to step up in the world, Ricky isn't content to take the slow train to adulthood, and he sets about ingratiating himself with local drugs gangster Johnny Curry. However, other eyes are watching him, for whilst Ricky thinks he's making moves, he's about to discover that his burgeoning kingdom is just a pawn in the making for two other FBI agents. Based on real-life events, director Yann Demarge's White Boy Rick is a fantastic crime drama that may have escaped your attention back in 2018. Released on the same week as the risible The Predator reboot, this is a hidden movie in Netflix's suggestion box that you really should seek out. Opening with a brilliantly comic exchange at a local gun fair, where semi-automatics are as freely available as fruit and veg, is a swift introduction into the life of Richie Merritt's Ricky and Matthew McConaughey as his dad. Merritt's Ricky is all whisper-thin moustache and sullen teenage eyes, and McConaughey excels as his sweaty chancer of a father. As high on dreams as he is on regret, it's actually McConaughey's arms dealing so as to start a video rental store that truly underscores their situation. However, Ricky's wastrel sister, Dawn, brilliantly played by Brit actress Belle Powley, isn't buying it, and neither is the ever-excellent Jennifer Jason Leigh and Rory Cochrane as FBI agents on the prowl. Throw in Bruce Dern and Piper Laurie as Ricky's grandparents, and the human chameleon that is Eddie Marzan, and you have a film that is positively swimming in quality performances. Following up from his excellent debut, 71, White Boy Rick is a gritty descent into hustlers and near-misses, all operating on the edge of Detroit's crack epidemic of the 1980s. Never choosing to wade its period details in your face, as is more commonplace nowadays, Ricky's true life story could be and probably is happening today. From guns hustler to drug dealer to FBI informant, all before his 16th birthday, it certainly has the hallmark of fantasy, but is in fact a decaying spiral that you'll enjoyably be pulled into. Aided by Mac Richter's terrific score and Tat Radcliffe's gritty cinematography, White Boy Rick is 1 hour and 51 minutes of surprising entertainment. Lost amongst the quotidian superhero fare and barely believable white man got a grudge and a gun revenge movies, Yann Demange's solid drama of a scrappy dysfunctional family with a poor choice and escape should really enrich your viewing pleasures. Now, as part of our ongoing series of film industry interviews, I had the chance to chat with Florian Froschmeier, renowned TV director of 17 TV movies, 46 primetime TV episodes, 2 feature films, and the creator of pre-production filmmaking software Script2Movie. Here's a brief slice of our full-length podcast, which will now be available for download in 2 weeks' time.
What are the biggest challenges you ever faced, whether it be writing or directing?
Getting work. I think when you're starting out and you're doing your own stuff, I think it's financing, of course, surviving. Once it becomes your profession and you make a living of it, then it's finding the projects that not only make you money, that also fill you with passion for the story you're telling. What I learned in the past years is to say no more. So if I'm getting a script, when I was younger, I was like, okay, I'm cool, I make it, because I just wanted to work. And at some point I realized I have to be a little bit more picky just to do better films. Mm-hmm. Because when you're not writing your own script, when you're getting a script, there is some writer behind it that worked his ass off. And he deserves a director who sees his vision in his story and protects it. And of course, you as a director, you have your own vision. But in the end, the story was first. And so if I'm doing TV here, I see it as my obligation to protect the writer's vision and his story. So it became much more important to me to be picky, to mm-hmm. pick those scripts who I really understand, where I really think I add value to the project.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, given the explosion...
So there you have it. If you'd like to hear more from my interview with Florian Froschmeier, then please be sure to download the full podcast when it comes out on April the 1st. Now, in the last of our no-spoiler reviews for this fortnight's episode, let's check out what's making the fur fly between Sam Neill and Michael Caton as two warring sheep breeders in the Australian comedy Rams. In Australia's outback, there's a silent war going on. With much gruffness and fuming, warring brothers Colin and Les, as played by Sam Neill and Michael Caton, rear sheep. However, these are not any kind of run-of-the-mill bar lambs, but prize-winning breeders descended from a much-prized bloodline. Yet all that doesn't matter a damn when the grim spectre of a rare and lethal illness suddenly threatens every sheep in the land. Under orders to cull their entire flocks, will this be the end of the road for Colin and Les' dynasty? Or will they be able to put aside their differences and save both the herd and the day? Let's find out. So the first thing to understand about this movie is it is a remake of the 2015 Icelandic comedy Rams by Grimmar Hanoksson. Now, whilst I'm not a fan of down-the-line remakes, I suspected there might be enough going on with this Aussie transplant to think that the patient wasn't dead. And I was right. Set in Australia, whose lush dramatic vistas automatically cry out for languid helicopter shots and wide-format TV screens, Jeremy Sims' version of Rams has even more fertile pastures to graze upon, all of which can be put down to its casting. By bringing much of the same backwards vibe from Taika Waititi's The Hunt from the Wilder People, Sam Neill has again returned to melt your heart. Instead, this time, he's not the uncommunicative type. That would be his on-screen brother Les, as played by Michael Caton. Whereas Neill's Colin is a thoughtful, if slightly tortured soul, Caton is the self-destructive type that lives beyond the barbed wire fencing. Lounging around, falling down drunk, and cursing every blade of grass that crosses him the wrong way, Caton's performance as Les gives Sam Neill an easy time of it. However, not to be outdone, Sam Neill's Colin has the awkward attentions of the local vet to contend with in the form of Miranda Richardson. Yet whilst the two of them twist around a will-they-won't-they romance, a far more potent spectre awaits them in the second act. Spreading like wildfire through the farming region, a killer disease is decimating sheep herds at a rate, and it falls to Richardson to deliver the fateful message. And this is where the film's comedic tone gives way to a much more dramatic one. This is because whilst the herding and off-screen slaughter of the region's sheep is a traumatic necessity for the script, like Thomas Harris's Clarice Starling, you're all too quickly yearn for the silence of the lambs. Nevertheless, that's not the fault of the film nor the filmmaker, because the accent here was always on comedy drama, and suffice to say, there's still plenty to be had in what follows afterwards. With bruised feelings and egos to match, Rams becomes a quiet gem in its own right, and one that you should see on a gentle night. From its hindquarters to its snout, this is quality entertainment, albeit the second time around for some who may have seen the original. The reason for this? Sam Neill. The mega wattage of goodness and gentle affability that he generates here, like his small comic triumph in The Dish, cannot be underestimated from the guy who drove a spaceship into hell in Event Horizon. So, get a wriggle on, and check out Jeremy Sin's version of Rams today. It may not be the darker-hued version that Grimmar Hanoksson's was, but it's still worth a dusty step in the film's Australian outback. Okay, and I think that about wraps it up for this episode. To recap, we reviewed Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall in Coming to America, Jason Clarke in Silk Road, Matthew McConaughey in White Boy Rick, and Sam Neill in the charming comedy Rams, whilst giving you a brief excerpt of our future episode with veteran writer-director Florian Froschmeier about the differences between making films for TV and cinema. So if you like what you heard and you fancy having some more no-spoiler reviews delivered to your favourite listening device, then please consider subscribing. Please tell your friends, your family, and anyone else who you know who loves movies. Please hit the bell, smash the like, and share the podcasts. It really does make a difference, and we do appreciate your support. That said, if there's a recent movie that you've missed or haven't heard us cover, then why not download some of our previous podcasts or drop us a line at info@nospoilerreviews.com so we can include in an upcoming episode. Until then, please keep safe, take all reasonable precautions, and I wish you all the very best for a spoiler-free time. Look forward to seeing you on April 1st. All the best. Bye.